Indiana Superintendent Glenda Ritz received more votes in the 2012 election than Governor Mike Pence, yet has been stymied by his administration throughout her first term. In fact, speaking to the Bloomington Press Club this afternoon, Ritz said during this upcoming legislative session, Pence could sign away the state's education budget to a new agency that he created. Her remarks and audience questions are here in today's Community Report.
We are so pleased to have you with us today, Glenda. A big press club welcome for Glenda Ritz.
Well, sorry I'm late, first of all. Hello. Recognize a few faces around here. So I'm excited to be here, and sorry I couldn't find out where you were located and was wandering around the building. But with that, I enjoy meeting with the press. So I'm going to say that right off front. Upon my election, the first thing that the General Assembly did, they did two things. They passed a bill that said I must label schools A, B, C, D, F with accountability system K-12. The second thing they did was give me the opportunity to actually redesign the standards, assessment, and accountability, the three large systems within which we operate. I am a firm believer that every test is first a test of reading. And so therein lies the first barrier with what the federal government has mandated with the pass-fail tests. We are required by federal law, No Child Left Behind. It's been 12 years now. It's 6 or 7 years past due for reauthorization. And so we are still relegated to giving those pass-fail tests on grade level. Well, when you give English language learners those types of assessments, and they haven't caught up with the reading level for their grade level, then you can expect that they're not going to be able to read the information on the test, and thus they will not pass. Every fifth grade teacher in the state of Indiana could tell you before they take the test, I-STEP test, who's not going to pass it, because they know their curriculum and they know their students. And we spend about $25 million every year giving that test. We already have the information on. We're going to have a 100-point system. It's going to be fair and transparent. And with that, I am still required, however, to assign grades. And I don't shy away from the political aspect of this. I do not believe in labeling schools A, B, C, D, F. It has absolutely nothing to do with the quality of the school or parent choice. And the reason I'm so opposed to the A, B, C, D, F is because it's labeling students. A 3.7 grade point average from an F school will never be looked at the same as a 3.7 from an A school, ever. And so students leave our schools all the time with less opportunities than other schools simply because we put a grade on the school. The thing that I was most surprised about was the governor forming his new education agency by executive order. That was a curveball to me, so to speak. I knew I was going to be in a political situation to try to get some things done, but I didn't expect that to happen. But I'm mostly worried about what we call the Center for Education and Career Innovation, CC short. I'm most concerned that this biennium, the governor is going to seek codification of that agency. And so as a result, a couple things can happen. Number one, they can take more budget items. He has to have a budget to continue to operate. And so either they're going to reinstate the line items that he already took and have it continue its operation as is, or they can take line items from other budget areas or create a whole new line item for the new agency. But in addition, they also, with a stroke of a pen, quite easily can give the duties that belong to the Department of Education and give them to CC. And after 150 years of having the Department of Education, who is full of educators working downtown, supporting our schools, we may have an agency that is overseeing our schools that is not in the field of education. And that worries me greatly. Dropout rate is not really on the rise. We have, because you can't drop out now without having a full-fledged parent conference. When a special education student, a more severe level, can attend school until they're age 21 or 22. But age 18, the U.S. government forces us to treat them as dropouts. So they are not within their cohort. They are dropped from their cohort and considered to be dropouts, even though they're going to complete their work at high school with an alternative type of piece. And it all goes in the statistics that way. So it's, you know, it's hard to talk about statistics when we're forced to actually do them in a very particular way.
Can you touch a little bit on the voucher program and especially how it's being measured, if it is effective or hurting public education?
Vouchers are called school choice in the state of Indiana, and I will tell you that school choice is the proper word for it, because no money exchange goes anywhere until the school selects the child. Many people think that we have parent choice. That is not what we have in the state of Indiana, because you could go and apply at a private school of your choice but not be accepted, and then there is no money that gets exchanged. It simply goes to the school when that happens. General Assembly met, and it was pretty clear in the facts that what was known as a cost savings to the state of Indiana was quickly not going to be a cost savings. I don't know if that report had any bearing on the decision making of the General Assembly, but it was the first time last year there was no expansion of school choice. This year, I reissued and updated the report. It is now costing the state $16 million. And so I know there's a lot of chatter at the General Assembly as to how we're going to get that equalized and get that money back into the public schools. With that being said, I made a vow that I would be supplying information to inform their decision making. That's what I'm doing.
So yes. You mentioned IRED 3, and what sort of guidance is the Department of Education currently giving schools with regard to what steps they should or may do with students who do not pass IRED 3 or third grade reading test? Well, under your predecessor, it was pretty clear that those kids were expected to be retained at grade level. Have you been able to nudge that at all?
Well, actually, it's always been the position, no matter how it was communicated, that's a local decision. So, yes, they didn't pass, but it is still the local decision as to whether they move that child on or not. When they move them on to fourth grade, they still have to take the third grade I-STEP, however. So if they failed the IRED 3, they have to take it again as a fourth grader. By the way, you may not know this, we collect no reading data on students in the state of Indiana except the pass-fail IRED test at grade 3. And that doesn't even tell us where kids read at grade 3. So we have no data. We do not collect any reading data. I cannot tell you the reading levels of the students in the state of Indiana, the key indicator of success in our schools. So I hope our formative assessment is going to do just that. It should be an assessment K-10, and I'm hoping that it will actually always let us know where kids are performing. We're at 22% poverty. And with that comes great mobility of the children in the state of Indiana, moving from apartment complex to apartment complex to apartment complex to get the next free rent deal. And some of them go to 2 to 3 schools a year simply because of poverty. And so we have to have a way when they come to their new schools that you can just pull up their name, find out their reading level, and get busy. So I'm hoping that our new system is going to allow us to do that. And then I feel quite strong that there will be a comparison of the IRED 3 and the information in reading that we will now be collecting, and I hope that the IRED 3 will just go away. That's my hope. It's a very high stakes stress test for little third graders, I can tell you that. Last question.
What areas would you support liberalizing teacher licensing?
Oh boy. I voted no against the career specialist at the last meeting. If I had my druthers, we would start out with teacher prep training with teachers knowing they were going to be National Board certified in their career. That simple. We expect the best, and here's where we want you to end up. We should have thousands and thousands and thousands of National Board certified teachers in Indiana. Instead, we have 155.
Quick clarification, a lot of people in here are not teachers. The 2, 5, and 10, not tenure, but 10 years.
The 2 years is a probationary, really, for the beginning teacher, and then you get a 5-year license, and then you have opportunities with certain aspects to get a 10-year license without having, renew it every 10 years instead of every 5.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much. And again, I apologize for being late.
You can hear the full conversation between Glenda Ritz and the Bloomington Press Club on our website, wfhb.org.